give you a little time to shovel out, but it means we're going to shovel up a little higher in content next week. So we're coming to the end of the official hospitality part. Next time we're going to be looking at sort of hospitality in the world. How does hospitality link arms with or hands with evangelism? And we'll be looking at that next week, both within our own personal lives, you might say at home, but also with respect to the church, the church hospitality and evangelism. And then the last week, what was the sixth week, we'll probably finish up next week's class, but then we're also going to have several presentations of folks just sharing some of the ways that they've done hospitality and evangelism together and what that might look like, just to get some real ideas on, you know, it sounds so, I say ethereal, up in the sky, but what does it look like hands-on? Are there any things we can actually be doing, reaching out to our neighbors by caring for them well? So that'll be next week. Well, that'll be 2 weeks from now. Let's pray, and then we'll get to work. Father, thank you for a new day. Thank you that we could actually come to church this time. We thank you that you've kept us and preserved us despite the snow. Thank you for the many blessings just that we think about when we're kind of stuck inside, warmth and shelter and health. I pray that you'd bless us today as we think in terms of what you call us to do in caring for, loving the stranger. A lot of times we ourselves feel like strangers and we want to be loved. Would you do that supremely yourself and help us to do that well with one another and then also with the communities around us? We pray for your blessing on class then, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so a little bit of a review before we get into today's class. And while we review, think about the last time we met together, I had a couple of questions that you were beginning to work on. Questions that were, how could we as a church show hospitality to one another? That's sort of the narrower definition of hospitality. But then also to strangers, people coming in who we don't know. So while we're at church or as a church, how can we practice hospitality? We began the class looking at what hospitality is. Remember, stranger, lover, philoxenia. Stranger, lover, loving the stranger. And two definitions, really. One is sort of a narrow, inviting people into our home to care for them, to love them, to tend them in the hopes of building them up to love God better. You might say becoming a fuller part of God's family. But you can take a broader stance, and I think this is what we're going to be talking about today in terms of there's a broader definition of hospitality, and that is this. It's a whole life disposition, where your whole life is outwardly focused toward others, whether they're in your family, in your church, in your community, particularly the strangers and the hurting. And that outward focus seeks to love them, to care for them, to tend them, to strengthen them with purpose. And the purpose is this, so that they're drawn closer to God, to the church, and into relationship. I think it was 2 weeks ago that we looked at hospitality in the gospel. It's right at the core of what Christ has done for us. In Israel and Egypt, it was called strangers, and God went and loved the stranger and made them his family. We looked at adoption. God adopts us into his family. We all once were strangers, now adopted into God's family, where Jesus has cared for us, protected us, guides us. We looked at union with Christ, where we're united to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're grafted into his family. That's all the language of hospitality, if you would push it just a little bit. And then finally, I think it was the same thing 2 weeks ago, the church and hospitality. At the core of the church is this idea of strangers being called out by God to be his people. You could see the parallel there to hospitality as well. And so we began looking at, I think it's Acts chapter 2, where the church, the early church, gathered together for food. Well, not just food, of course. It was for prayer. It's for gathering around the word. It was for building each other up. We looked a little bit at Hebrews, where hospitality, this is Rosaria Butterfield's idea at least, hospitality is the faith bridge or the bridge by which we get through the difficulty of the Christian walk. Remember all the people in the book of Hebrews groaning, struggling, many being persecuted. We can't do that alone. We're not meant to do that alone. We're meant to do that in community. And she would argue that hospitality, that rubbing shoulders with each other, that tending and caring, that mutual care, that's the bridge to persevering in the faith. So let me see. What's your outline here? That was review. How can the church practice hospitality? And that's what I'd like you today. I'm not going to divide you into groups just yet. Because you began thinking about this last time, I'd like you to, I should write it down. I hope some of you did. But how can the church practice hospitality? And there's a couple of aspects to that. We can talk about the church as a whole big group, but then there are two more specific aspects to church hospitalizing, hospitaling, caring, tending for each other while we're at church, but then also receiving folks, the strangers who come. We call them, I don't mean strangers in a bad way, but people that we don't know, people that you might not know who maybe have been at church for 10 years, you just don't know them. How can we tend them? So that's the question I want to focus on for a couple minutes and have you feed back to me. And then we're going to spend some more time just working through what are some of the problems we have with actually doing hospitality. So the last half of the class is going to be fairly hands-on in terms of how do you do this when you're only 15? It's not the only question. So how can the church practice hospitality? I'll give you a few ideas that I came up with. Then I want you to start talking to me about the church hospitaling one another. I think in terms of the church as a whole practicing hospitality, I think we can do that toward other churches. I think of other churches in the community sharing our space, our disposition toward them, that our attitude even as a church is one of care, of concern. That's something I've had to repent over before. I think I shared that once with you. Just toward another church that, you know, the pastor was discouraged. I'm like, well, that's kind of good because that's not a good church. That's not a hospitable disposition. We need to be caring for and be concerned. It doesn't mean we have to agree with or say that's a great church to go to, but tending for toward others. I think in terms of the persecuted church, where New Hope can be hospitable toward those who are persecuted, what exactly that looks like, I think certainly prayer. That life disposition outwardly focused. That's the kind of things I'm thinking about. Maybe in how we let our building be used. I thought in terms of presbytery events, where we're glad to host things here for our presbytery, for even our denomination. These are big pictures. We'll get down to the ground in a few minutes. I think this is the idea of a wise welcoming of our community. Can we show hospitality to our community? We've done a little bit of that. It's more evangelism, but the Backyard Bible Clubs is a way. The Wednesday night study, kind of an on-ramp of inviting people in, the conference on Islam. Maybe more things like that, movie nights even. It's sort of a hospitality. I think as a church we can do, and we should be thinking about things like that, where not just one individual, but together we can bless the community. So if you have more ideas on that, maybe you talked about that a couple of weeks ago a little bit, or more specifically, how does hospitality function at church? Or with the church as a group. Does that make sense? Yep, see some nods. All right. So your turn. Get to work and share some ideas on what this might look like. I think two categories. One is you can talk about attitudes. You can also talk about actions. This is in terms of caring for other members of the church, if you will, showing them hospitality here. I'll pause. You guys think. And then give me your wisdom. Yeah, you're welcome to talk with one another. I'm not going to split you into groups just yet. I'll do that in about 5 minutes. Does anybody remember some things of how can we show hospitality to others at church? Can you guys catch that in the back? Alex, did you hear that or not really? You could? Oh, great. All right. So accessibility, making life easy for folks coming in. And that's interesting to think about in terms of somebody whose job is a greeter. Some people are terrified by that person. They want to avoid the greeter at all costs. And other people are very happy for it. And even probably trying to read people's body language. Some of you have had that where you just, you know, some people absolutely hate the meet and greet thing that a lot of churches do during the service. And other people love it. I'm not going to comment on that, but that's just similar to that of trying to be sensitive to what people appreciate and despise. Other things. Yeah, Eric. And speak back to them. Thank you. Be as loud as you can.
I think of the deacons. I don't know how to put this better. You know, when I lost my job, it was awesome that the church reached out to the deacons and just helped us. circumstances. I want to say, you know, through financial, I mean, if it's that decision is made, the church can assist financially for a family in need. But more so, it was the spiritual coming beside and walking beside the family during this hard time.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to pick up on that just a little bit. I think part of our, when we come to church, I don't know what we usually think about. Usually we just think about getting there relatively on time, and we're very pleased with that, and that's good. But I think the idea of hospitality is that we come with a disposition toward others. That's not our first reason to come. If your first reason is to come to worship, to meet with God. But where part of it is that we're family, and our disposition then is to look for people who've lost their job, to remember that, and to tend them, to care for them. And part of that, yeah, maybe giving them a 20, 50, do they have $1,000 bills here? I don't think so. Get them a lottery ticket. No, I'm just kidding, don't do that. Powerball. Boy, I just got to keep my mouth shut. What was I saying? Right, but that disposition toward others of, when people have struggles and problems, we tend to just back off. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. And we just, but they need us to move toward them. Even if it's as simple as, how are you doing with that? How can I pray for you? And those are the right things to say, but they are meaningful. We're just, I've been thinking about you. That type thing really girds people up. It makes them feel cared for. So what are some other ideas? And feel free to branch into this, what I term sort of stranger lovers, looking at people that you don't know at all or who are just coming in. How can we show hospitality there? Yeah, John. Yeah, being open, being open to those. So you can tell, often a church has a feel about it, whether it's a church where you feel welcome, or whether people are kind of like, hi, and that's about it. So being open and seeking to if you want to talk, I'd like to talk further. Yeah. Yeah, Karen. Yeah, I think that's very helpful, both in terms of even telling people you could park and actually you walk in, there's no steps, walking with people to the nursery or walking them to the bathroom. You're like, really, you want me to walk you to the bathroom? No, they probably don't, but it's a great way of serving them. I think in terms of, in some way, I think the whole church should be greeters. Not that we're that formal, like, are you new? Great, glad to have you. And we're like, ugh. But that disposition toward, if I was new, what would I want done? And that can really put people at ease. Yeah, good. A couple other things just to think a little bit differently. We do hospitality as a church. This afternoon, we'll be having a fellowship meal. That's hospitality. And I think we can capitalize on that. This is one of the ways where I think a lot of us don't have time for hospitality. But this is something we're doing anyways. And so you can, as a church, we're doing hospitality. You can invite specific people. Eric, hey, you want to come to the fellowship dinner with us and sit together as a family so we can hang out, we can talk. That's an easy way. The meal's mostly provided, but that's an easy way where you can do hospitality. It's not taking more of your time, but there's an intentional, I want to be with you. Those things, taking advantage of them, same like the Wednesday night pizza supper and then the Bible study, that's another way. You can, if you're coming to that anyways, you can link up arms with somebody and sit beside them so they're not alone kind of thing. Those are just, and growth groups, I was going to talk about those. We read a quote on those before, but same there. There are so many growth groups, and they're open to visitors. So you can welcome people. Hey, why don't you come with us to growth group? You're going there anyways, but you've tended them. You've invited them. We want you to come with us. And then you've got more time to actually hang out, to talk, and so on. Those are some other ways that the church already is doing this kind of thing. I think you guys do a great job after the service of hanging out, talking with people, looking for people. That's good. Don't forget the people have been here for a long time. But I think you do that very well. I think the church is fairly strong in this. And I think we can continue to engage in that and strengthen it.
Let's see if there's any other ideas, and I'll review the ones that I had written down. You know what? A very minor thing that struck me. Sometimes visitors come. This is sort of the stranger lover thing, and this is personal experience. And people, they can't help notice you. You know, there's this big, tall Canadian Dutch guy with a bunch of kids, and they're late, and you're like, awkward. A really simple thing to do when you notice that person is just to smile at them. When somebody comes in late, you don't know them, smile. And instead of that, because then they don't feel like that, like, oh, man, we're late. And but hey, we're glad you're here. And maybe see if they have a bulletin or if you can move over and find a chair for them or something. But just little things can really go far. But one thing I wanted to touch on, and this is more linking arms with each other to do hospitality, and then I want to move on, is you don't have to do hospitality alone. We're part of a family. And so if, I'll give you an example. This will probably get to the point. I have a friend in Virginia, just one, and at their church, they do a lot of hospitality. But there's someone in the church, he's a single deacon, and he just does all their cooking. And I don't know exactly how they set it up, but there's linking arms with somebody else in the church so that they can do more hospitality. I think that type of thing is really good to think about, because we all could use help. And there are other people who say, you know what, I'm not in a great place to do hospitality. There's a young lady, and there's three young guys who come in. She doesn't want to have them all over the house. It's awkward. It's whatever. But to link up with another family, say, hey, how can we do this together? I think that's really worth thinking about. Maybe you know some really good cooks, and you can only make grilled cheese. Grilled cheese is fine. And actually, people would probably be very thankful for just that, too. But those ways of working together with others in the church. Those are some ideas. Unless somebody really wants to jump up and say something, feel free. But I want to move into some of the objections and talk about that, because that'll get us a little more practical yet. Invite us into what you're already doing. Yeah, I think that's fine. So what I want to do for this is going to be messy for the first little while, and you're not going to like it. You're going to feel uncomfortable, but that's fine. It's going to be fine. I want you to divide up in groups again, but not like the last few times, because you're kind of used to talking to those people. Some of you are sitting with, Lance and Alana don't want to talk to each other about these things. We want to split them up and share the wealth. So what I'm going to, I think this will work. I'm going to number you guys. What do we got here? Probably 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, maybe 60 people. I'll go in sixes. That way you'll have fairly big groups. 60 divided by, I used to do 10. She's out of here. I'll number you in tens. If you really want to stay with whoever you're sitting with, just let me know and I'll number you the same number, or I'll try. But then what I want you to do is talk with that group, and I'll give you some more instructions in a second. I better start numbering and then sit in sections. So I'll tell you where to sit, okay? We're going to do 10 groups. We'll do 9 groups. That'll make life easier. It's going to go like this. Group number 1 is going to be up here. Group number 2 is in the middle. Group 3 is in the back. Then the next set of 3 is going to be over here. 4, 5 in the middle, 6 in the back, and then 7, 8, 9, 7, 8. You got it, right? So I'm just going to start numbering. Lance, could you start numbering on that side? Count them 1 through 9, and then come back up through the middle, and I'll start on this side. And then you can start moving right away to where you need to go. Remember, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 1, 1. Two, three, four, five, six, seven. Very good. It'd be mass chaos. All right, find your folks. Mass chaos. If any group has only one person, join another group. All right, so as you guys settle down, it looks like each group has got about 4, maybe 5. That's fine. I'm going to cover a couple of these main objections just myself, but because I want you to talk about a couple specific ones. But a couple of the main objections to hospitality is one, just sort of philosophical issues, the way we think as Americans. I'm going to borrow from other people. America's priorities in many ways are just to have a good life, to have fun, to be independent, to protect our privacy. The idea of being isolated, we stick very much to ourselves, to our immediate family perhaps, but also to performance. There's that idea too. And all those things fight against hospitality. If we've got to perform, if we've got to entertain, it's really hard to actually be hospitable because you're so worried about the entertaining part. Private space, me and myself, it's really hard to welcome others into that. And that's those things all fight against hospitality. The philosophical issues, I have a little quote there from David Murray up at, in Grand Rapids. He says, what idols, barriers, or values keep us from hospitality? Well, these are condemning. We're too busy. We're too selfish. We're too functional. We're too proud. We're too fearful. We're too safe. We're too superficial. Like, really? Ouch. We're too brainwashed. It gets worse. Too competitive. Too unchristlike. I'm like, wow. I need to think about that. Me. And we join that with not just philosophical issues, which are kind of the culture, the air we breathe, but also heart issues. It's fearful to talk to people who are different than us. We deal with comparison. I can't cook like Elaine Monsma. Well, you don't know who she is, but she's a wonderful cook up in Grand Rapids. Never have her over. And she's just dying for a grilled cheese with somebody. Just somebody to, right? But we compare. We compare our homes. We compare, you know, our desserts and self-consciousness or inadequacy and so on. We've all got these heart issues we've got to battle. We talk about those more often. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but what I do want you to talk about is this, the situational issues. I think to an individual, we could go around the room and say, well, because of my situation, I can't show hospitality. Laura and I have got 5 kids. It's impossible. We got so much going on. I talked with them, Nancy and Jeannie last week. We're seniors. We don't have the energy for this anymore. This is tough. What if you're single? What if you're young? What if you don't have a home? What if your home's too small? What if you're too busy carting kids around? You don't have the time anymore. We all have reasonable excuses. And yet they don't get us off the hook. So what I want you to do is in your group, talk about the excuses that are yours. You're going to have some of your groups, you're going to have young folks, some of you are going to have middle-aged, some of you are going to have seniors, there's going to be a mix of them. But what I want you to talk about is and maybe you share that first, what is my good excuse, a reasonable excuse for not showing hospitality? And let's talk about those as a group, and how can we creatively counteract those? What's maybe the lie in it, or how can we actually use, how can we still do hospitality in my stage? Does that make sense? Yeah? All right. Get to work. Please. The questions, there are questions basically on your outline if you forget what I was talking about and so on. All right, folks, we got a few minutes left. I'd like to just have you share some of your ideas. I don't really want you to share your roadblocks. I want you to share some of your solutions. So you might give, for example, here's one of the reasons I find it tough to do hospitality, and here's what the group came up with in terms of maybe a creative way that we could interact with that. So I'm just going to go group by group, and we might not get very far. We might get only up to 2 groups. But let's see. Any group wants to start first? All right. I'll start with them and then give them to you. Anything you guys want to share? You can take it, give it to somebody that you want to share, or you can speak for the group. So what we're looking for is roadblocks, but how can we overcome those?
I can't remember anything.
Okay, so one of the things that we mentioned, what are we talking about, the solutions or the problems or both?
Give us a very brief the problem, then some
solution. Okay.
Because I think that's really going to benefit each of us.
The problem, here's the bullet statement, we're selfish. We want our time and don't want to share. One thing that we did point out is that we need to have healthy boundaries as far as sometimes we want accolades from others for our nice, wondrous buffet that we have cooking skills, and we need to not, again, feed the self. So, you know, we need to be mindful and keep it simple and just break out the bucket of KFC and grilled cheese sandwiches, as you said, fried fish. At any rate, so, you know, there's an aspect. The other is someone that works a lot, you know, wants their private time, you know, I just want to veg out. Well, you know, there's got to be some expansion in that as well. But again, you want to have healthy boundaries. In other words, if you meet with people and schedule up every weekend and then you don't have family time, well, that's kind of going against the grain of the Sabbath and rest and so forth. So you got to have a healthy mix of hospitality.
Right.
So.
And that's important. We don't have time to go into the boundaries, but you need to. You could kill yourself giving hospitality, but you need boundaries. You need Sabbath rest as well. So setting up a pattern where you also guard family time, you guard worship time, you guard just personal downtime. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, we probably the same. Selfish was one of the main reasons, but also for we talk about space in our houses. That, you know, I have lots of kids in a small house, and so we sometimes think, well, we don't have room for a lot of people to come over. But we also discussed if you can't have people at your house, then take them to a park and just have fun there. And then we talked about cleaning up. So it's if sometimes we don't want people at our house because it's the prep beforehand and the prep after the cleanup afterwards. So again, taking folks to the park or another activity is a good way to show hospitality. But that was one of many we had.
Great. Is there another group that's itching to share something? I don't know why I'm thundering, but.
We talked about something really similar where it's kind of stressful to have people over because of the prep and the cleanup and the worrying about cooking and all of that and the time. But we talked about a solution would be just to invite someone out on, like, to run errands with you. Brian was saying about, you know, oh, I have a Costco membership. You want to come to Costco? So, you know, that's like, it. You know, you can invest in people that way and, you know, hang out and talk the entire day and never have to really entertain or, you know, have people over.
Involving people in normal life. That's most of us just do normal life every day. We don't do big splashy things. But that's really significant for someone else to come into and experience. And you have that time to talk, just to talk about processing life together. Who else? I'm just going to keep giving it to the groups then. Well, all girls and you, Ruan.
Yeah, I got to hang out with the moms. It was great.
Did you invite them all over for lunch?
That's right. And we also have a great, like, introvert-extrovert spread in our group. So that was interesting. So the thing, yeah, legit, that's right. The thing that we were talking about is, well, we were thinking about, you know, how the boundary thing, there's a difference between being hospitable and being stupid and the discernment that's involved in, like, I mean, that's true, right? But there's a difference involved in finding that boundary and the discernment about when you need to take care of yourself, take care of the needs, then take care of other people. But the thing we were thinking about is the most, like, so we've got some moms here and, you know, it's you go from one day to the next. And just starting with the little things, like going to IKEA and sitting in a living room. Like, that's a brilliant idea. And just, it's a beautiful living room, and someone else did it for you. And take advantage of that. And coffee. It's a win-win. And so just taking the opportunities as they come, and sometimes all it takes is just having some discernment and being open and just taking advantage in the moment.
Great. IKEA, where's the nearest one? Matt, you want it? Looks like you're being volunteered to say something. She'll tell you what to say. She tells me what to say all the time. It's an advantage.
Our group talked about, like, going to help somebody else. You can really pull in a lot of people that can go meet you and work as a team that day and kind of get a chance to talk to one another. And you get to do something that is for somebody else. But it's also good for you because it's an opportunity to talk with others and to get to know other people. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Thank you. Nathan was volunteered to invite me to a basketball game. But that's the kind of thing, right, where young folks can do that. That's not hard, and it's fellowship as well. You want the mic?
I'll take it. All right. So our main obstacle in hospitality was kids or just want to be by myself. So a couple solutions were, I would say we could take it a negative as a positive. So let's say you have a big family, maybe invite another big family. And, like, I was just thinking, I'll have so many games where Alana and I will just play together, but if you have a bigger group, now we can play some games we never play, or let's go to a park. We don't have to go home and entertain. And then I also suggested we schedule so many things in our life. Why not schedule time for hospitality so then you could focus your energy for that day? I have friends where I won't see them for a whole year, but I make sure to keep in touch and are not just friends, maybe acquaintances, and just bring them into the fold. So,
yeah, great, thank you. And I think it's Rosaria and Kent schedule. I think it's Sundays. They're always open for. They just expect somebody to come over, so they're prepared for a surprise at church. Just somebody's going to be coming today, and then Thursdays, they just schedule it. That's a lot of hospitality, but that's sort of that intentionality, and that you set boundaries in that way too, where it's not every day. You don't have to clean the house every single day of the week, or go to the park every single day because you got 3 feet of snow. But you can schedule, hey, once a week or twice a month or anyways. Did you guys want to share something? I know you do. This is the guys group. Billy, all right. You guys got to hang out with that group over there. It's all the girls in the room. Oh, you guys are all girls too.
One of the roadblocks we talked about is just the amount of effort that it takes. Some other people touched on it. And one of the possible solutions we came up with was involve someone else, so you know, another family or another person to join you to, one, have accountability, and two, to kind of ease some of the burden the effort that it takes to be hospitable.
Yeah, I think that's a good word, burden. It's hospitality is costly, just like Christianity. It's sacrifice, but we're called to that. We're supposed to expect that. So it is burden, and that's one of the reasons we need boundaries. But to have someone else to help, I think that's really helpful. And it also takes the awkward conversation thing. You don't have to think of everything to say yourself. The other people can help with that, too. What are you guys going to tell us? So what do you want the mic?
Okay. So we talked about how people want to just invite people who they, like, already know or people who they want to meet more and become more acquainted with, but how it's really more sacrificial if you invite people who maybe it's kind of awkward because you don't know them, and you just need to sacrifice. Oh, yeah. We had an idea that at my house we would have, like, a painting thing and invite, like, the middle school girls and stuff over.
Yeah, can some older guys come too? That's great. Good. Thank you. Group number four, did you guys share yet? You have something you want to say? Steve, you do? All right. I saw you flinch. All you got to do is wink and I'll know, all right, he wants to talk. So.
Yeah. I think we sort of shared some of the, about, you know, house issues as well. And, you know, some ideas were hosting things outside. Another thing was being in college and everyone just being busy. So, you know, one idea was just, you know, inviting a bunch of people. It might be on the spur of the moment, and maybe most people can't make it, but someone can.
Read somewhere of ramen noodles in the college room dorm, and it just shows people a little snapshot of your life, and you can have a blast over ramen noodles. So let's pray. The kids are here, and then we'll go, and we'll pick this back up next week. Thank you for your work. I appreciate that. Good ideas. Father, help us to set good boundaries, to be rich in hospitality, to have that disposition even today. Bless us as well as we come before you and meet with you to worship. We pray for your rich presence. In Jesus' name, amen.